Well, how many today, I'm not going to take a long time, but how many today will give me 15 minutes? Anybody here give me 15 minutes? Raise your hand. 15, 30, 45, an hour. All right, I'm good. I'm really good now. I've got, you guys are so generous, man. You guys are so generous. No, I'm not going to keep you a long time today, but I do want to give you an introduction to our series we're going to be doing the next few weeks, which we are titling Servant Leaders. Servant Leaders. I'm going to be talking about serving and about using what God has put inside of us for growth and the things that God wants us to go through as we serve Him. And I'm going to talk to you about this thing of servant leaders. Last week I talked a little bit about Abraham and taking a risk, and I want to kind of pick back up on that thought this week that how many know there's not very many gamblers for God, is there? I mean, but think about it. We gamble for everything else, don't we? We gamble for everything else. We gamble or our car don't get stolen. I was looking on a list of the other day of the top cars that get stolen, Cadillac Escalade, the BMW, a crossover, I believe it is, and also one of the Audi lines there, and the Acura. Also, those cars are the top cars that get stolen every year. So if you drive one of those cars, make sure that you don't park it anywhere you can get stolen, okay? You better park that thing in the garage because you got the most highest-ranking cars that get stolen. Now, some of you may be thinking, am I at risk? Well, if you drive, according to polls, if you drive a Ford Taurus, you're not at risk, okay? If you drive a Dart, you're not at risk. And if you drive the all-time number one safest car to own, the least amount of stolen car of all time is what? What do you think it is? The Gremlin. You got it. The Gremlin, yeah. If you drive one of those cars, you're safe, okay? You're not taking much of a risk. But our society, we take risk all the time. We risk when we get in the car. We risk when we get in the plane. We risk things in the stock market. We risk on our housing market. We risk on property. We risk on trying to flip this home. We risk on so many things. Many of us will risk putting our money into a one-armed bandit. Zing. You have a greater chance of coming home on welfare than you do a millionaire, okay? We risk all the time. We risk, but when it comes to doing things for God, we don't gamble very much. We don't take a risk very much. The men are very conservative when it comes to doing things for God. And today, we're picking back on a thought that we got to learn to take risks for God. We got to learn to step out and realize that God is looking for those who will take a risk. That's what He's doing. And we're talking today about when risk becomes faith. When risk becomes faith. Let's read a story in Mark 1:40. It says, a leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now we see the scenario here that you realize that when Jesus was walking, that He seen this man with leprosy. Now in those days of time, if you had leprosy, you had to carry a bell with you. You had to carry something similar to a cowbell, and you had to ring this thing. And if somebody got too close to you coming down the road, you had to ring this bell and said, unclean, unclean, unclean. And let everybody know around you that there was leprosy, and you had to steer clear of them. You couldn't be anywhere close to them. And so they would say unclean. So either one of you had to depart one side of the road or the other. You had to clear the road. And they would have a bell, and these people with lepers would shake this bell and say, unclean, unclean. And so I can imagine as Jesus is approaching this man with leprosy, that the man is saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. And Jesus looks at him and continues to move forward. Now everybody else parts the road. Everybody else runs, man. Bing! Leopard! Boom, they're gone, man. Hey, no way I want a part of that. You know, there's no quarantine to keep them away from them. You're getting out of there, okay? They're shooting out. But Jesus stays there. And He doesn't leave the road, and He moves toward him. And the Word of God says that when He moves toward him, the man sees that he recognized that it's Jesus. And he's like, Jesus, it's you. And if I know, Jesus, if you be willing, you can heal me. You can cleanse me. And it says right here, very important phrase, move with compassion. Jesus' heart was moved with compassion toward him. And Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him and said to him, be cleansed. Some versions say, be made whole. Jesus healed him. And it was this thing about taking a risk. When does risk become faith? Let me give it to you real fast. Risk becomes faith, number one, when it's love for God and people that compels me to be involved. It's love for God and people that compels me to be involved. When does my risk become a faith? It's when I am taking a risk because my love for God and my love for people compel me to get involved. I should love God so much, and I should have a love for his people that it compels me with compassion. It should move me with compassion. It should move me to be involved. Look what it says again in Matthew 20, 34. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. All through Scripture, we see this continual pattern that says Jesus was moved with compassion to people. Jesus loved people, and he constantly had compassion on them. When you want to move with risk and take risk in doing something for God, when do I know it's faith? When I'm taking a risk because I love God so much and I am moved with compassion that I love people so much. When I move and not operate in that, I am moving in a different realm. I'm not taking a risk because I'm trying to get wealthy. I'm not taking a risk because I'm looking for self-gratification. I'm not taking a risk because I'm looking for popularity. I'm not taking a risk because I'm looking for anything other than this. I love God so much, and I love his people so much that I am moved with compassion. And when I am moved with compassion, it moves my heart to want to do something, to take a risk to reach somebody, to go to a leopard, to go to a blind man, to go to those who are needing help and say, you know what, I love God so much, and I love you, and God has called me to love you, and I want to minister to you. I want to reach out to you. There's this risk that comes. The greater the compassion, the lesser the sacrifice. The greater the compassion, the lesser the sacrifice. You know what? When you have a genuine compassion for people, when you have a genuine compassion for people, it's not really a sacrifice, is it? We think sometimes taking a risk for God involves such a big sacrifice. But let me tell you this. When your heart's in the right place, when your love for God moves you and compels you to be compassionate, it's not a sacrifice at all. Matter of fact, the very opposite that happens. What you thought was going to be a sacrifice turns out to be a great joy in your life. Because you see what's happening. When you reach out to those, how many times have you heard stories of people who went on a missions trip and I didn't really want to go, but I went, and I thought I wouldn't like it. It was going to be too hot. I wouldn't like the food, you know, no good bathrooms, all these things that go along, and they come back crying. God, that's just, you know, just. They come back. Why? Because God has done something in their life. It was a great joy. When they went and served, God changed them. And it's something about serving, something about being moved with compassion that changes. It's not a sacrifice. How many times have you ever had to sign up to serve at maybe at a food kitchen or at a homeless shelter and go down and serve? You're thinking, I don't want to go down there today. And you get down there and start serving. Next thing you know, you're loving and you're talking to people and encouraging them. And I like doing this, you know. There's something about a joy that comes. It's not a sacrifice. At first, it may seem like a sacrifice, but I guarantee you it will move to a joy. The greater the compassion, the less the sacrifice. You know, the Pharisees were talking about this thing. They had a desire to be great in the kingdom of God. They had a desire to grow in the kingdom of God. And Jesus was talking to them. And they had no idea what he was talking about. He was talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. He was talking to them about loving God with your whole heart and loving those around you and serving and doing the right things. And they just didn't get it. Look what Jesus' response to them was in Matthew 9:13. But go and learn. That's what he said. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. And what was going on here was the Pharisees, they had all this theology. They had all this biblical understanding. They had all these lessons they'd been taught. They had memorized Scripture. And they had all this thing they thought was the right thing, but they had no application. They had no means what it means to be people of compassion, people who love God and love other people and show compassion to others and serve others. They had no idea. And so Jesus said, listen, you just go and learn. Don't come and talk to me about your theology. Don't come and talk to me about who's the greatest in the kingdom. You go and learn what this means to have compassion. Learn what the statement means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. They were talking about, oh, Jesus, I give more than other people. I do this, and I do that, and I do this. And they had it all figured out. And Jesus said, you've got it all wrong. Go and learn what I'm really talking about. And which brings me to this point of realizing this, that inside of us, I believe this, that all of us have a little Pharisee. That inside of us, all of us have a little Pharisee that's wanting to spring up. If we'll let it, there's all of us that says, well, I do this, or I give this, or I attend this, or I'm here all the time, and I do this. We have this little Pharisee that wants to spring up within us and say, I've got it. I'm all right. And let me tell you something to you today, that half of what you learn is through teaching and listening. Half of what you learn, how you grow, is through coming to church, listening to pastors, being involved in small groups, Bible studies on your own, teaching and listening. That's half of what you learn. But the other half will come through serving. Let me say again. The other half of you growing will come through serving. And when you are just attending, when you are just listening, when you're just taking in, you're only growing half of what God wants you to do. Because you will not grow fully on the other half until you learn to serve. Which is number two. I realize that serving is God's design for my growth. Serving is God's design for my growth. This is very important. Don't miss this today. God has designed that you and I grow. And he has used serving as a way for us to grow. When I went to Bible college, I got taught a lot about the ministry. I had a lot of theology, a lot of book knowledge. I had instructors giving me knowledge. I had notebooks and notebooks on ministries and pastoral care and this and that. I mean, I got a whole box full of dust out there in my dust box, you know, in my garage, full of all these books I got in Bible college. And you learn all this stuff, you know, and I graduated, and I was ready to pastor, wasn't I? No, I wasn't, because I had all this knowledge, but I had no application. It wasn't until I got involved and began to serve that I began to learn. Oh, yeah, uh-huh. I mean, how many of us have ever graduated college, you know, and you've got a degree in a certain field, but when you start the job, you really don't know what you're getting into. I mean, you may have a teacher and be a teaching degree, but once you finally get into the classroom and start teaching and developing and curriculum and organizing students and taking care of discipline and doing other things and planning things that go along with a schedule, do you really learn how to teach? I mean, it's through hands-on experience that we grow. It's the same way with Christians. God has designed that you and I walk through this doorway of serving as our way of growth. It's not going to happen any other way. Okay? I'm just going to break it to you. It's not going to happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not going to happen any other way except through serving. This is when you'll grow the most. This is when you'll explode in your growth and go, wow, this is awesome. Wow, this is what this means. Oh, wow, God, you used me here. Oh, God, this is what it means to walk in grace, because I didn't have a good week and I didn't have anything to say, but God, I was working for you and all of a sudden you told me what to say and I was like, oh, God said this. I'm like, where did that come from? It comes from me serving and God revealing it to me. And God's using me. Serving is the gate that we have to walk through to growth. There's no way around it. There's no shortcuts. I'm telling you, there's no shortcuts. There's no way of, you can study and memorize the whole Bible. You can pray every day, 5 hours a day, and you will never get to the place that God wants you to be until you learn to serve. Hands down. We realize that serving is God's design for growth. Let's read this in Luke 22, 26. This is Jesus talking. He says, the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? That's what man thinks. But Jesus says, but I am among you as one who serves. Where is Jesus? Serving. Let's take it. We've heard it a lot, so I want you to realize the statement. I'm going to show you something this morning that maybe you never thought about. Jesus said, I am among you where? Serving. Okay. Today, if you have a great talent of singing, I mean, you want to make it big in the music industry, where would you go? You'd move to where? To Nashville. Not American Idol, to Nashville, Susan. Okay. You would move, if you wanted to really make it big in singing, you'd move to Nashville because that's where the best singers and musicians are and producers, people who can train you. That's why we see all these people moving to Nashville who have these dreams of becoming a music star or recording artist, or they want to play for albums and things like that. They move to Nashville because they can learn from the best. What happens if you want to be a great gymnast? You're going to move to where? You're going to move to Houston, aren't you? You're going to move to Houston. You're going to go to, what's the guy's name, Bella, the guy from Romania? Did you guys watch the Olympics and hear this guy? I mean, you can't understand a word he's saying, even though he knows English. Bella, what do you think? He's like, oh, Bella's excited, but I don't know what he said. But anyway, they got this big school, and they got all these schools there in Houston, the big Olympic academies, and the best and the brightest go there, and they live there. Why did they move there? Because they know that they want to learn from the best. And so they move to where the great teachers are. Are you getting what I'm saying today? If you want to move where Jesus is, if you want to learn from the best teacher, if you want to find where Jesus is, you won't find him in a pew next to you. You'll find him through the window of serving. You'll find him through the door of serving. You want to study under the best? Begin to serve. You want the best to teach you? Begin to serve. And let the Holy Spirit teach you. Let God reveal things to you about people skills, about compassion, about things that he wants to do in your life and use you. It all comes through serving. It's the very window of our growth. Now, we have a lot of people here to serve at Destiny Church. And I tell you that I'm excited as your pastor that we have a lot of people with a heart of giving, a heart of serving. But I want to make sure in our young stage here at the church that we continue to keep that spirit and even take it a step further. That all of us have this heart of serving, not just giving, but serving. It's one thing to have a giving heart, but it's also another thing to have a serving heart. And in serving is the way that God has designed for you and I to grow. You know, God uses a lot of things to teach us. He can teach us anywhere, can he? He can teach us anywhere. I think about Joseph. Think about Joseph. He was called to be the leader of Egypt. He was called to be the person who led Egypt through the greatest crisis it ever faced. They were going to have a great famine come through the land, and God was going to put him in second command. He was actually in charge of who ate and who didn't. So really, he was in charge of who lived and who died. I mean, he is next to the king, he had the greatest power in all of Egypt. And God was moving him from his father's house to the palace to be there ready, to be the second command, the most powerful man all through Egypt. Where did God train him? In the prison. I mean, he trained him in the prison. He was wrongly put in prison. But in there, let's read what it says here. What's number 3 point? I realized that my location is not important. My involvement is. I realized that my location is not important. My involvement is. Let's read the scripture. But the Lord was with Joseph as he extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him to prosper. Joseph was in the jail. What did he do? He served. When he was sold as a slave, what did he do? He served. And it says, as he was serving, the Lord did what? The Lord met him there, and the Lord caused him to prosper. Today, it doesn't make a difference where you are. Let me say it again. Your location makes no difference. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have. It doesn't matter whether you've got a lot of money in the bank or today you're struggling. It doesn't make a difference where you are. Your location is not important. Serving is important. And then when I serve, that's where I meet God. He says the Lord made him to prosper because he had a servant's heart. He never said, I don't deserve to be here. I'm better than this. Don't they know that I'm called to be a great, great man in this kingdom? Don't they know that my brothers are going to bow down to me and people are going to bow down? Don't they know this? No, he didn't make a difference. Where he was at, he served. Location made no difference to him. Whether he was serving his father, whether he was serving his slave master, whether he was serving the prison guard, or whether he served Pharaoh, did not make a difference. He served. And what did God cause him to do? To prosper. We realize this, that it's through this that location is not important. Prosperity comes through my serving, my involvement. One time I went on a missions trip. My first closing right here, okay? It's my first closing. Hopefully my last, right? I told you I could do it pretty fast, okay? I've gotten real close. I went on a missions trip to L.A. one time, several years ago. went to the Dream Center there in Los Angeles, the big hospital they converted into an outreach. And Matthew Barnett and Tommy Barnett started this big Dream Center down there. And I was down there doing a missions trip. And as I was there, I was with a group of people. And we went out on this Adopt a Block program. It's where you kind of go around to some of the bad neighborhoods. And you just do anything you can to help them out. You paint or you mow the yard, rake leaves, you know, help an elderly. Whatever they need done, you kind of help out. I remember we was doing this yard project one time. And I was kind of there working. And Matthew Barnett showed up. And not only Matthew Barnett, but he had his dad, Tommy Barnett, there with him. Now, some of you may not know who that is, but if you're a minister, those are pretty big guns there. Tommy Barnett's one of the most known pastors around the world. He's been a pastor to pastors for many years, runs several, almost 20,000 people out in Phoenix, Arizona. He's got a mega, mega church out there. And so they pulled up, and I was in the back, okay? I was in the back, and I saw him out there. You know what I did? I took my trash bag, and I walked to the front. I started really working really hard then. Oh, Matthew, Tommy, how are you doing? God bless you. My back. Oh, yeah. And the Holy Spirit all of a sudden just kicked me in the seat of my pants, like, you big dummy, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm being a servant here. For who? For me or for the Barnetts? God, for you. Well, why'd you walk to the front to be seen by them? Because God said, all right, I want you to go back over there where you was in the other corner of the house, and I want you to see all those big weeds. I want you to begin to pull all those big weeds, and I want you to do all the stuff that nobody else wants to do. And God started speaking to him. Oh, God, I don't want to do that, you know. So I go back there, and the Holy Spirit's correcting you. This is a really good thing. So I'm walking back to the back corner, and I'm pulling these big weeds and picking up, but Tommy can't see me back here. He doesn't know what kind of servant I am. And God's like, bingo, that's right. Who are you doing it for? And he really just checked my heart. Who are you really doing this for? Are you doing it to be noticed, or are you doing it because you want to serve? I want to serve God. By the time this lady pulls up to the stop sign, this is funny, pulls up to the stop sign, I can see her getting onto her kid. You better settle down right now. Blah, blah, blah. And if you don't settle down, you're going to be like this boy over here in a work release program working. You better behave. Adios. See ya. Okay. So, you know, many times, how do we do that? I mean, why do we really serve? Why do we really serve? We serve because we want to be noticed, or we serve because it's really the heart of who God is. Today, as we close out, next week, you're going to have an opportunity to be involved in a lot of different things. You're going to hear from our pastoral staff. We're going to talk to you about the vision for next school year. We're going to talk to you about things that are happening, new ministries that are starting. It's going to be an exciting Sunday next Sunday. You're going to have a chance to be a part of what they share. They're going to tell you about opportunities to serve, opportunities to be involved. And I will tell you this, as your pastor, you will never grow to your full potential until you learn to serve. That's God's design for us to grow. How many today want to grow? Do you want to grow? I want you to grow. I want to see you grow to your full potential. And it's going to come when you learn to serve. Not just give. Giving's a big part of it. But also serve. Be involved in helping. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this series, but I'm going to take a couple of weeks through this and talk to you about some different angles of things maybe you hadn't talked about God using you in your life. I believe today that God has got a great destiny for you and your family. Let's bow our heads together. Today, with every head bowed, I just want to give you this chance today that so many people here have been given, and many have made this decision here today. Today, if you're here, you say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're baptizing people, and things are happening, and you're talking about God growing you through serving, but I got to be honest and say, first of all, that I just need to, first of all, make my heart right with God. I need to ask Him to be Lord of my life. I will not embarrass you in any way, but today, if you're here and you would like to make this decision to serve Christ, make a decision to make Him Lord of your life today, can you just lift your hand where you're at? I want to make sure everybody has that chance today. Can you raise it? Nobody's looking but me. I say, Pastor, I want to dedicate my life today to Jesus. Anybody here today, can you raise it high? Second question I have for you today. You say, Pastor, I'm going to ask you this question. This is the question I'm going to ask you. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I will commit over the next few weeks. I'm going to come in with my heart ready to receive what God has to say. I'm going to come in ready. I'm asking that God will change my heart to be a heart of a servant. A heart of, you know, even a servant. Even if I'm already serving or even if I'm not serving, it doesn't make a difference. That God will grow you deeper in this attitude of serving. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm going to have my heart open to the Holy Spirit this whole series. I want God to speak to me. I want God to challenge me. Can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being honest. Several hands going up. You said, I'm going to have my heart open to allow God to help me maybe take a risk to jump in again. And maybe I was hurt before. Maybe I got involved and I got hurt before, so I haven't wanted to do it. And I'm asking that God will help me to jump in again and not to allow my hurt, not to allow those who have hurt me from keeping me from serving once again. I believe today that God has got something great for you, because I know it's going to happen through serving. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Has this been an awesome Sunday together? Have you enjoyed being in the house of God today? Amen. What an awesome Sunday as we baptized those, had great worship, we prayed for those who needed prayer. Today you've heard the word of the Lord. Come next week ready to serve, to have your heart ready. We're going to give you an opportunity to be a part of that and take a part of what's going on. I believe today is a great day. I'm going to close you out in prayer. Remember Wednesday nights, come be involved and be in part of what's happening on Wednesday nights. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, God, that your word teaches us, it corrects us, it challenges us, and we see time and time again through your word that, God, you are moved with compassion. So I pray that, first of all, God, you would give us a spirit of compassion, Lord, that would move us to see people differently, that would move us to see things differently, God, because when we have a spirit of compassion, then we're gonna want to serve. We're going to want to minister to those around us. God, I pray that, Father, throughout this series, that, God, you would continue to take us, Destiny Church, and the people of Destiny Church, to a different level of serving. Because it's through that window of serving that you grow us the most. It's through that window of serving that we grow the most in you. We thank you today. We stay together. Amen? Amen. God bless you today. Thank you for being here. Shake a hand, hug a neck before you leave. You have a great day in the Lord.